it is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, guys, what is up? This is the first episode of the Insert Name FC podcast, man. A little nervous. Don't know exactly how this is going to work out. We're going to have zero mic discipline in this first episode, at least. I can guarantee you that. But funny enough, we have to actually redo this because my dog started barking. Because we're not doing it in the studio. We're doing it actually in my bedroom. So
really fancy place you got here.
You know, true professionalism is what we aim for.
Yeah.
But yeah. I am your host, Hector Flores. And with me, obviously, is my best friend, the other host of this show, Edward Robles.
How's it going, guys?
What's that?
I'm trying to build something over here.
You're like trying to come up with like some unique radio voice.
Hola, ¿cómo está? No, I'm not trying to do that at all.
Mega uno cero uno.
Oh God, don't you dare start. Yeah, don't you start.
It's funny with Mega 101. There's that one DJ that has like a weird high pitched voice. This is gonna be a Houston reference right now because I forgot the dude's name, but he has like this super high like. What is up, guys? It's just so.
Hey, soy yo. Este soy el DJ.
All right. But let's get going with these introductions, man. So we want you guys to get a good idea of who we are so you guys can understand if we're going to show any bias because, let's face it, we're fans of clubs. So we're going to be biased at some point. So we're just going to let you know who we do and who we stand for. So, Edward, what is your favorite club? Obviously, your top club. None of this. Oh, EPL this, or La Liga that, or Bundesliga this. Number one team overall, you're rooting for them no matter what.
Well, since you so politely asked me in that way, it's Barcelona FC. And yes, I know I will get some backlash for this, but yeah, I know there's a lot of
We're going to get there.
It's a tema novela and everything going on right now, so I just don't. You know, but it's still Barcelona FC, no matter what.
No worry, we're gonna talk plenty. We're gonna talk plenty of Barcelona, which is funny how in the trailer I said we're not gonna try to just talk about Barcelona and Real Madrid, but here we are. The first episode is gonna be talking about Barcelona.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, obviously. Well, actually, not. I guess it's not obviously since it's the first episode. But my favorite club is Real Madrid, which is funny and ironic that the fact that we're best friends, but we root for each for the other team.
Well, I mean, we put bets up like food or sometimes video games. Maybe we'll put it up there and we'll put money if we need to. Wink, wink.
Yeah, I know. I lost plenty of them, but a lot of people always like make comments about the fact that like we're best friends and we root for the two biggest rivals in the world of soccer. I think you could say, but it's funny though because at the same time. We actually try to like get each other gifts representing those teams, so it feels really weird buying Barcelona gear. But it also it's not so much that weird for me because also my brother-in-law is a big Barcelona fan as well.
It's weird for me because it reflects on my credit card statement. It's so bad. I keep looking at it. And I'm just like, why? I feel a little bit. Dirty.
I'm surprised that like my bank doesn't call me up like, the fuck you doing?
Oh no, trust me. Sometimes it's like. Sir, are you sure this is you? I get the text message talking about, are you actually buying something from worldsoccershop.com, Real Madrid jersey? I'm like, yes. Pain in my arm.
They probably think someone stole your credit card, especially because you're ordering an XL and you're a size medium.
Yeah.
I kind of like how I took a shot at you being skinny, but basically implying that I'm fat.
Yeah. Are you sure you shouldn't be an XXL?
Okay. Well, technically for Puma jerseys.
Don't even start with the Puma jerseys. Not even I should start with Puma jerseys because that is just.
Puma, step your game up, man. Seriously, like, you're not thinking about the regular people.
Apparently not.
All right, so the next question I have for you, Edward, is who was the player that got you to love the game?
Well, I mean, it's not really. A player, but it was more of like the team itself and who made the team. But it was like I want to say the 98, 99, then 02 Brazil national team with the Yoga Bonito. Ronaldinho, particularly. That was when I was like, oh, I was so shocked and awe. Like, all the commercials would come on. And I mean, you remember, I was like practicing, going on YouTube, looking at the videos, and then I would practice it outside. And I fell in love with it.
It was funny though, you couldn't actually do good like passes, but you could definitely like do around the world.
Yeah, that didn't work in the field.
But if you were to highlight a player from that era,
Ronaldinho, hands down. That dude was amazing, and he still has that wicked touch.
It's crazy. I would hate to be in a Sunday league with him. I know we're losing.
Oh yeah, no. You see him on the other team, and you're already like, well, I know we're gonna get overhead like passes, Sunday, throw passes, no look passes, a lot of elásticos.
It's just not fair, man. Sunday league, you're clearly out of shape. That's probably your only physical exercise for that week is probably playing soccer that day.
Yeah.
and there's Ronaldinho just messing you up.
Breaking ankles left and right. I swear to God, it does happen. But since we talked about my player, what about you? Who's your player? Who's the player that got you to love soccer?
I think for sure
football.
Or football. I think for sure it'll have to be Roberto Carlos. The man was just...
Okay.
I think it was the first time when I realized that just because you play defense doesn't necessarily mean you cannot be like a playmaker or a goal scorer. Because, I mean, you know, I was mainly a defensive player most of my time. But fullback was definitely like to me, it was the best position. Because you got the best of both worlds. You got to play. Because I like playing defense. I actually did take pride in playing defense. But I like being able to go up and help with the attack. Though, most of the time, like, some games I play center back. I think, for sure, middle school, I played a lot of center back. But, I mean, I love playing defense, and I love fullback just because of the fact that you can attack. And I would definitely say, I think I have, like, a real soft spot for fullbacks. I think most of my favorite players on every team happens to be a fullback. Shoot, I probably look at all my jerseys that I have here, and it's probably a fullback.
Bellerin, Marcelo.
Yeah, basically. Carvajal. You forgot about Carvajal.
Carvajal, yeah.
All right. So, who currently do you like right now in the league? Who's your favorite player currently playing? I'm pretty sure it's Messi, but...
Honestly, he is one of my favorites, but I honestly have to say Robert Lewandowski, because that dude is cold when it comes to scoring goals. Like, he's just hands down just cold-blooded. He's calm, collected. He has all that agility, and even at his age right now, which is, what, 33? I believe it is, 32?
Somewhere there.
And I'm like, he's 1 year older, maybe 2 years older than I am, and I'm just like, what the hell? He's doing all these crazy-ass tricks and half scissors when Pep Guardiola was there, when he scored those 5 goals in, like, a span of, like, a few minutes. I was like,
dude, you mean he tore it up this season as well.
No,
man.
Yeah, and then that's just the one thing
he had one of the best seasons, I think. And it's crazy to think at his age, man. I hate saying for his age, because I mean, we're not talking about like these guys are playing at 40 or anything. Guys are 33. They're like,
Let's put it this way, I guess we're comparing them to the olden days where we're like 33 was already like, okay, I'm gonna go retire to like for the minor league or something. But now you got Ronaldo and Messi and Lewandowski. Hell, like, I think Rebus is also 30, 31, and they're still in there, been playing really, really well, really good.
Yeah, I think this era is probably a lot different now, because a lot of them, they stay in shape. Like, they do a lot. I think, you know, people used to, like, mock Cristiano Ronaldo for his intense workouts, but I think a lot of people have recently started kind of doing. I mean, look at this man. This guy, Cristiano Ronaldo alone, man, the way he's been playing lately. And, I mean, he's up there in age as well. So, that's the insane part.
No, and that's, like, he plays like if he's, like, still in his young age, and he still has that acceleration, that speed. It may have gone down just a tad bit, but he's still... I wouldn't want to go against him in a race. I would not even... Or he's chasing the ball. Hell no.
You got to think about it, too, man. Now he's got all this wisdom, too, now. And you add that with his athleticism.
That's it.
But I guess to segue to my current favorite player, I would. This is a little hard one, but
that's what you said. Anyways,
get your head out of the gutter. I'm actually gonna go and say Aubameyang. I think he's just a fun player to watch. The dude is just like, I don't know, man. It's just exciting. You know what he's gonna do something when he plays. Like, it's a guarantee that he's going to be fun to watch. He's so fast. And I think what he's been able to do with Arsenal, like, with this complete change that this club has done, I think he's definitely a big focal point of all that has changed with Arsenal. But I think, like, Aubameyang is just – the dude's got swagger. I think that's the other thing about him. And then it's kind of funny watching him drop that FA Cup trophy.
Oh, God. It just goes to prove that, you know, even though they're – millionaires, soccer stars, that they basically can do incredible things on the field and off the field, they are still human.
They have zero coordination.
Yes, they have moments like us. Like, we'll drop a cup of water, he drops a FA Cup.
All right, let's talk about what is your favorite game. Like, what was your favorite game to ever watch?
You know what? It was a long time ago, and it was a friendly. It was a friendly. It was that America game versus Barcelona when they played here in Houston a long time ago. We watched it on TV. We were so excited to see Ronaldinho. And then at the very end of it, they had that free kick. Ronaldinho was sitting behind it.
I remember now. I think America was up.
They were up, I think, 3-0, I believe. It was 3-0.
And then gave up 4 goals?
No. It was a tie. It ended in a tie. It ended 3-3. But the thing is, like, second half came through, and then they brought in more
players. Actually brought in the actual Barcelona players.
Because they were playing with a small amount of reserves, and I think Ronaldinho didn't come in until the second half, and that's when he came in, and they had, I believe it was Conejito Saviola at the time, and Eto'o up front. All of a sudden, everything just started crashing down for America, and I mean, I'm not bashing on America or anything. They actually stood their ground at that moment. I was like, what the hell's going on? But then that's when they brought out Ronaldinho, of course, Saviola,
Deco,
of course. I mean, you just had that midfield that just.
I feel like Rafa Márquez did something that game.
No, and Rafa Márquez did. He was.
I feel like he scored a goal. I don't know. I don't remember entirely, but I do remember.
I believe he did score a goal. It was from a corner kick, I think. So.
Rafa Márquez.
Yeah, but I mean, I give him props, you know.
You know what? To this day, he probably did retire by now, finally. But I mean, like, I'm pretty sure at one point I just kept saying, every time I would watch a Mexico game, like, all of a sudden Rafa Márquez is in the lineup. I was like, oh, I thought he retired. I feel like that's happened to me more than one. I'm pretty sure as of right now, I'm pretty sure Rafa Márquez retired, and he's probably playing somewhere. As far as I know.
I mean, he could be. And don't get me wrong, dude. If you have him in your Sunday league, well, that's a good wall right there. It doesn't even have to be a wall. He was very versatile. I mean, he would even take shots from the outside. And I was like, damn, for a center back to have that kind of accuracy, not just shooting it just to see if he could hit something. He was versatile. He had his moments, too. I think he even played a center defensive mid at some point.
Oh, you definitely could. He's a guy that you could put him in the midfield as well.
So he had his passing down, and he had that long passing down. That's why I was like, oh, okay, he's doing his job. But yeah, that was my favorite game, because I remember that the last second, Ronaldinho had that free kick, and I swear, I don't think this was just in my mind, when he kicked it, he smiled, and he just kicked it, and it barely went over the pole. And I was thinking, I think he did that on purpose. Like, he just wanted the game to end in the 3-3. Like, it was just a fun time. It wasn't anything serious.
I mean, well, it was a friendly.
So. Yeah, but I mean, Ronaldinho always played the game for fun, but he would get competitive. But at that moment, I felt like he just did it for fun. Like, he kicked it, and he just kind of looked at the camera, and he just smiled. And he always had that play soccer with love, with just for fun. He never got super intense about it, and I mean, that's probably one of the reasons why I feel like he's the player that got me into playing soccer. It was never like a job to him.
That's true. I think for me, and there's so many games to talk about, but I think the game that really like sold me on the game of soccer is definitely the 98 World Cup, where France beat Brazil. It was just an intense game, and I believe France was the host country for that World Cup.
They won in France.
So I was like, you know, because I feel like I don't think you get that very often, where the host nation wins the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I know that usually you'll have the host nation at least make it past the group stages.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know if we're gonna see that with Qatar. But I mean, like, I didn't think Russia was gonna do it. And Russia was like the biggest surprise.
Russia has really good players. Like they.
But you don't see them. That's the thing with the Russian players.
You don't see them because they're like hidden gems in various teams that have other bigger.
But they're
stars.
Also most of them are playing in the Russian Premier League. That's the and I don't know about anybody that watches that league. So, I mean, I knew about Golovin, but I mean, like aside from that, I didn't know many. Like, I mean, obviously Cherchev because he did play with Real Madrid, I didn't know many like Russian players like that. And for Russia, like that was just and they were not in an easy group either because I mean they had Uruguay and Egypt and. Believe Saudi Arabia, but I mean, obviously,
I mean, everybody thought Egypt was gonna get out of there.
I thought for sure. I was one of those people that thought so too.
But the thing is, with Mosalah injured, I mean, yeah, you kind of that was basically who Egypt was relying on a lot. All
right, so talking about World Cups, what would you much rather win, a World Cup or a Champions League title?
Well, I mean, like me personally, or just
you personally, like.
That means I'll have to play for the U.S.
Well, I mean, you can play for El Salvador if you want. I mean, there's that option.
I'm going to stay quiet on that one, but I guess
you walked into that one. You're all reluctant about U.S. Hey, it can be worse.
somebody shut the door on me. And yeah, that just hurt. But I guess I would say, I would honestly say the World Cup. The World Cup. I mean, that's just something all over the world. I mean, Champions League happens every year, you know, so it's always a different year. You could win it every year, but the World Cup, you know, it goes by what, every 4 years. So I'd rather train my ass off and play those 4 years to try to see if I can actually make it.
And I agree. Cause I mean, the whole world is watching, you know, this is, you get to represent your country, you know, that's huge. I mean, obviously, if we're both representing the United States,
yeah,
that's going to be massive because finally the USA is able to finally do it, especially with all the athletes that they've able to develop here in this country.
And that's the good thing. Like all those U.S. young athletes, like they're going to go play in Europe and they come back and they have that kind of
sense of competition.
A sense of competition, but also that training. I feel like the training over there is a lot more intense, so when they bring it back to the U.S.
But I mean, play internationally, it's just I think in Europe, because it's like any given day you can lose your spot.
Yeah,
and I don't think you really feel that in the MLS. I don't want to take a shot to the MLS, even though the name of this podcast is literally a shot to the MLS. But yeah, let's segue into our last part of the introductions, which is this is gonna be called Start, Sit, or Cut. Well, and cut. And the three options are Adidas, Nike, and Puma.
I mean, we were just taking a shot at Puma earlier about their shirts, but I love their shoes. Their shoes are really comfy. Their cleats are really good. I still own the Evo Power 1s, and I think I still those are from like 3 years ago. I mean, I hardly ever didn't use them, but I still use the Evo Speeds for indoor. And I don't personally have any Adidas besides the Sambas and Nikes. I mean, I have the Tiempos. The Tiempos have been so good to me, the loyal, like,
I mean, Ronaldinho uses them, so
yeah. But I mean, think about it, the first ones were blue and gray, or I'm sorry, white and gray, and then now the ones I have are gray and red, so that's pretty cool. But if I had to start, sit, and cut, I guess I'd probably start with Nike. So I'd probably sit with, man, the thing is Adidas, I haven't worn Adidas like at all. I haven't really tried them out, so I can't be biased, but I guess I have to be. So I'll sit with Puma and cut Adidas.
Okay. I would definitely start Nike. I think most of my cleats have been Nike cleats, at least from my memory.
The Total 90s were the best.
They were, oh my god, they were the best cleat. I usually wore Mercurial Vapors, but Total 90s were definitely one of my favorite shoes. But I will say my favorite cleat of all time was definitely the Adidas Predators.
Oh yeah.
I just thought it was just a very simple shoe. It was basic. It was literally, you know, just a simple shoe that did the job, and that's what I liked about it. So I'll sit Adidas, and then I'll bench Pumas. Even though I do like a lot of what Puma has, I'm not a fan of the fact that they think every one of us is gonna be a bunch of Adonises. I'm like, come on, just think about the regular. Look, well, you know, you see, like you, like I think about Uruguay, right? Whenever I think of Pumas, because obviously that's their sponsor. Yeah, yeah. And I see,
see you as Diego Forlan, and that's why they sent you that shirt.
Huh? Well, I'm flattered if that's the case, but I'll see like Cavani, he's wearing a super tight shirt, and then I see Luis Suarez has like the baggiest thing. I'm like, man, that dude's probably rocking like a quadruple XL because that thing is baggy. And I literally, man, like Puma is just like, come on, bro, like, well, I think be Puma, realistic.
Well, the thing is, I think Puma has the tight and the non-tight fit, because I think Adidas also has that option as well. But I don't think Nike either has the option to be tight fit or not when it comes to jerseys. But for sure, Puma, I think, does have that option. So that's why you see Cavani wearing the. Like the freaking
dude, it's literally like they put Saran wrap on him and just like painted him the colors of Uruguay. That's literally what Cavani's wearing. That's also what Diego Forlan is wearing too. Yeah. But anyways, let's go ahead and get into some topics here. That was probably a pretty long introduction, to be honest.
Yeah, it was.
my. Now we know. Now we know.
We'll cut it for next time.
We'll definitely cut it. I mean, it'll be a lot shorter next time, for sure.
We'll cut it for
it. This is the first episode, so this is probably... we're not going to edit any of this shit. All right, so we're going to start off with some storylines, and we're going to go ahead and go to your club in Barcelona. Messi is staying with Barcelona at least for one more year. At least for one more year. I mean, we've kind of known that Messi has had this... just not happy with what's going on with Barcelona. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we've talked about this plenty of times. It just personal in our personal time. And I honestly feel like Barcelona has completely changed the way they have done things. Because I mean, a lot of people know La Masia is like one of the best youth academies.
That's the whole point. That's why Johan Cruyff created that. Like he was the one that did that. Like he was like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and nurture these players and make them come up and call them up, not buy the most expensive player that I can find, or buy a player who I think is good. And
even if Barcelona were to do it, they always were very smart about who they decided to purchase. Because I mean, like, one of the names that comes up, I mean, he was a little bit controversial, but when they brought in Zlatan, it was a smart idea to bring him in. Same thing with Luis Suarez.
He produced results. As much as he butted heads, he produced results. I mean, you also got to think about Alexis Sanchez, you know? Like, when they bought him, and he did produce results as well, and he stayed playing good. So I honestly don't see why they would have sold him. He was in a small little rut, but other than that, he did play really, really
good.
But
that kind of goes back to what I'm saying with Barcelona. They've always been about developing young players through their academy. I mean, Messi is one of them.
Xavi, Iniesta, Piqué.
And I feel like, I don't think I've really, aside from Ansu Fati, and we'll talk about him a little bit later on, but just thinking about all the fact that I really haven't seen many young players at least getting more time with the team, and not even coming off the bench, and I don't think I really see that much lately.
Well, the one player that I've seen that's been coming off bench besides Fati is, I don't know if you've seen that, Ricky Puig.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, he's been coming off the bench a little bit more.
You know? I haven't watched him play live, but I do.
You've been hearing
I do poach him from FIFA.
Yeah.
It's funny enough, like funny as it is that I don't like Barcelona, but like when I play FIFA, I feel like I just poach from Barcelona, like especially their young players. And I have used Puig a few times.
I mean, think about it, Isco and Marco Asensio technically had the chance to go to Barcelona, but Barcelona decided to go for Neymar at that time. So then Real Madrid managed to swoop in and get two good players, not even for a very expensive price.
But so I think the obviously you had Messi that was just not happy with what's going on with Barcelona. And then he asked to leave, and you would think that Barcelona would be, hey, you know what, this guy has done so much for this team and has done so much for this club and does so much for Barcelona that they would try to accommodate him in any way possible. But no, they went ahead and pointed out that he had a €700 million release clause, which, if you guys want to know how much that is in American dollars, that's $825 million. So, and so this was kind of my question for you. I understand that we're talking about Lionel Messi, the best player in the world, the GOAT, one of the GOATs at least. But he's 34. He's 33 years old. Next year, he's going to be 34. Is that €700 million release? Like, are you willing to pay that? Even though we're talking about Messi, but it's Messi. At least it looks like it's going to be going towards the end of his, like, whichever team he goes to, that's probably going to be his last club.
Yeah, because I don't think he's going to be going back to Barca, especially after all this controversy. I personally, I wouldn't pay that. It's a lot of money, especially for a 34-year-old. And even though he still has the moves, he still has that speed, he still has that touch, that left foot of his, man, that's crazy. And then his free kicking, it got better over the years. But I wouldn't take my chance on it.
That's a lot of money for a commitment like that. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
If he play, you know, he's gonna finish out this year. He's not gonna sue Barcelona. He loves Barcelona. He loves the people and all that. So if somehow Barcelona can get him to fall back in love with them, you know, it's like one of those, like, in a year I'm gonna leave you.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's like, now this is Barcelona's chance to, like, oh, I'm gonna win them back. It's kind of literally what it is right now for them.
So far, with all these moves that Barcelona has been doing, like selling Rakitic, selling Suarez and stuff, like, I don't think that's a good way to keep him. You're basically getting rid of two of the players that he actually wanted.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, but, and he gets along with Suarez, you know.
But adding with that, man, what does because Messi spoke out. Like, I mean,
yeah.
I want to just add one thing, man. Fox Soccer on Twitter, I think they also did it on Instagram as well. They used a clip from The Wolf of Wall Street. They slapped, you know, Messi's face, and the whole "I'm not leaving."
Yeah.
Which, oh my God, come on, Fox Soccer, at least read the room, right? Like, read the room. You know that Messi's not happy. Messi is as vocally said how unhappy he is, especially with this president, Josep, you know, taking control of Barcelona. And he is basically, Barcelona has gone down ever since he took over as president of the club. And you're going to go ahead and use which is a great movie, by the way. I love Wolf of Wall Street. Still don't know how Leonardo DiCaprio didn't get an Oscar for it. But,
Leo, if you're listening, we ruined for you, bro.
Hey, the guy loves pupusas, so he's cool with me. He picked pupusas over tacos, man. He's number one to me.
Damn.
I'd give him 5 Oscars right now.
Really? You know what? Better than an Oscar. I'll give him 5 pupusas right now. All you can eat, brother.
Yeah, oh, shit. You know what? I'll take that any day. but
you're not Leo DiCaprio, bro.
I'm definitely no Leonardo DiCaprio. But with that being said, man, like, the fact that he spoke out, what does that say about the culture of Barcelona right now?
Well, the culture of Barcelona has changed throughout the year. It's no longer... And the thing is, it didn't slowly change. It took a big ass dive. Like, it was like running in straight line, and it was slowly going back up, and all of a sudden it just went bloom, just straight down. And it's just like complete, it was after the whole Neymar thing. It was legit after the Neymar thing. That's when they were like scrambling to find a replacement for Neymar. And then
you bring in Coutinho, you bring in Dembele.
First it was Dembele, in which I think is like not, he's a good player. I'm not talking trash about
it. Because, I mean, he's been injury ridden.
He's been injured all this time. But the thing is, like, he hasn't played his money's worth. Basically, if he's playing his money's worth, he's playing in FIFA at the hospital whenever he's on away.
But then you throw in Coutinho.
You throw in Griezmann. And, I mean, I'm a Greasy fan. You know that. But I don't. At first, I was like, oh, you know, they just need to put him where he can actually get some room to run and to just shoot or lob the ball in, you know, just let him do his thing. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I honestly think that Barcelona definitely changed after Neymar. I mean, like, when you think of their big three, the MSN, the fact that you decided to get rid of the youngest one.
You literally broke the trident and was like, here, I'm going to throw this piece in the trash and just keep this one here.
But the fact that you gave up the youngest one of the group, because, I mean, I can get, maybe try to make a move for Suarez, like, move away from Suarez, especially for what his role essentially was. But, I mean, like, it's Neymar. You know, this kid's is hopefully going to be the future. That's what everybody's hoping. But
do you not see how good he plays in PSG? Sometimes he'll make some plays himself, and he does use his mind. He doesn't just do tricks anymore. He legit just does.
I think that's the Barcelona effect. I mean, obviously being in a locker room with Lionel Messi and obviously Suarez, like two very professional players. I think Neymar, that was good for Neymar. I mean, he still does his things. The flopping, I think the flopping has gotten a lot worse since he left.
I don't think, yeah.
The weird fact that he will not play on his sister's birthday. I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it just.
I love my sister. My sister's listening to this. I love her, but I would not if I was getting paid to play. I wasn't getting paid millions to play or thousands to play.
But then again,
I'm sorry, I have to miss your birthday. I'll just send you a check for $1,000.
But then again, do you love your sister as much as Neymar does? Because I think he loves her a little too much. If you get what I'm saying.
I can't comment on that.
All right, hey, look, let's go. All right, segueing into something. Continuing with the trend of inappropriate comments. We're going to go into some MLS talk, man. Oh, yeah. Delroy Hansen. Yikes, dude. What the? So, I don't know if you're fully aware of what happened. So, the first, I guess, after what happened with Jacob Blake, yeah. Some of the MLS teams decided to protest the games by not playing. And Delroy Hansen, who is one of the owners, I don't know if he's the owner of Real Salt Lake. He's also the owner of the Utah Royals, which is the NWSL side, and the Real Monarchs, the USL team. Basically, all of Salt Lake, he's basically part of the ownership. I don't know if he's the primary owner, but I know for sure he's part of that ownership. He made a remark talking about that this was a stab to the back of the MLS for the players choosing to protest the games. But to throw even more things, the league basically told him, like, you're going to have to sell your team, buddy. Now more things came out of the woodwork saying that he has had repeated incidences where he's had racist remarks and other inappropriate behaviors. We've seen him, apparently he's proposed to some of the women players, I think as a joke, but
can anybody say cringe?
But yeah, so Delroy Hansen is being forced to sell his team. I think this is the right thing to do, because I mean, I wouldn't want to have my league affiliated with somebody like him.
Well, okay, let me put it this way: if let's say the team was in Europe, do you think they would force them to sell the team? I think they would just give them a really heavy fine, probably give him probation of not being at the stadium at the times of the games if he wants to show up.
I think with the fact that
a whole season suspension, you know, him not being there.
I think with the fact that it is in the U.S. and especially with how the MLS has kind of taken in being supportive with the Black Lives Matter movement. Obviously, you have an owner who is basically going against what the MLS has been kind of supporting.
True.
So it's one of those kind of going back to the whole read the room kind of thing. It's just he made very terrible comment, and clearly now he's getting the backlash for it.
Well, I mean, I don't. You know, I'm not backing the guy at all, but I'm just saying, like, I think
you're just playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah, pretty much, like, just have a fine, probation, and basically he can't be anywhere around them, anywhere around the women's team, and it's just, you know, just leave it at that, because it's if they
do,
because think about it, in England as well, they have a lot of, black players. And I feel like if it happens in England as well, and it happens more than we think.
I mean, racism is clearly a real big issue, but just in soccer in general. But I mean,
but I don't think they would actually make the owner sell the team if it was like, for example, Tottenham or like Man U. Like they would.
I don't know if any of that has come out like that. You know, it hasn't come out the woodwork.
True.
So, like, especially as strong as this happened with Delroy Hansen. Well, Delroy Hansen. Sorry about that. But I mean, like, the situation is just the fact that what's currently going on with this country, and you come out with these insensitive comments. And this is, you know, he is a owner of an MLS team, and especially with what MLS has been trying to be with supporting with the Black Lives Matter movement and all that. I just think that it was just not a good move on his part. And I think, honestly, you know what? Maybe it's best to get, because I mean, also you gotta think about their player. Are the players gonna want to play for this man?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, not only
how many players would actually go like on strike or like not show up to practice or not even want to be there anymore or look for like to get, you know, sold in the next transfer period, or maybe they don't even need to at some point.
That's a question that I can't answer. But I mean, I think this was the right move by the MLS. I think it was needed to be done. And that's
you're right.
That's all I really can say at this point. And we're actually gonna have another yikes. Phil Fawnin and Mason Greenwood, man. So this just happened literally today. Well, I don't know if it happened today, but I know it happened recently.
Happened 24 hours. Yeah.
They got caught trying to bring some girls into their to the England national team hotel. They're basically done. They're going back to their homes, which Phil Fawn is going to have a very interesting conversation with his wife about this.
Oh, man. And I admire the kids so much. Like, I even poach them on FIFA. I'll take them from Man City. Right now, I'm doing a Borussia Dortmund season, and I poached them from Man City. And I swear, like, I admire the kids so much. He has so much talent. On his Instagram, he posts stuff about his kid and with his kid. And I'm like, man, that's a good role model. And then for him to do something like this, now I'm just like, bro. And then he basically screws his chances of playing internationally
again. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, once they're done with the games, they go straight to, you know, they're going through the whole quarantine protocols and all that.
Yeah, especially that.
And so, and the fact that, one, you're married, but these are two young players that are supposed to be part of that future, that bright future of England. I mean, you're seeing England kind of being that up and up team now, especially as far as they made it into the World Cup.
Oh yeah.
And you have two very promising young players in Greenwood and Fawnin.
Really good prospects.
And they basically just literally just said, I don't care. And I feel terrible for them. I hope that they're able to, I think Greenwood probably will be able to bounce back from this for the fact that he's probably not a married man. But Phil Fawnin, the fact that he is married and has children, I mean,
I'm pretty sure
he's definitely following a certain English player, if you get my drift. But no, I think Southgate made the right move by having these two just leave. And
yeah,
I think it's a big loss, but I think England still has a very solid team nonetheless. So I think
he's probably gonna go to his wife and say, "Oh, Greenwood made me do it."
No. Great British accent, by the way.
Thanks, mate.
Alright, so that's really all you can really say about that. Yikes, but hopefully, I mean, they're young, they're stupid. I mean, we've done stupid shit when we're young, but
shit,
I don't know about doing stupid stuff.
If you ever found me, you know, sneaking in a bunch of girls in my hotel or whatever, man, don't stop me. I swear to God, that sounds like a good time. That's why he did it. I'm not backing him at all anyway, but I'm just saying, you know, you're 17, you're 18, 19. You're
That's crazy to think, though, how young he is and he's married.
Well, no, I mean, no, not really.
I mean, obviously, marriage doesn't have an age limit or anything like that, I'm just like, you know, like,
a beautiful kid.
I honestly did not know that he was married until you told me.
Well, yeah, I mean, he had...
well, that and I read the headline, but I mean, yeah. Like... yeah, I mean,
I follow the kid on Instagram, so I know he has a family. So mm-hmm. I was like, okay, cool. When you told me, I was like, wait, what? And then I looked it up, and I was like, no. I was like, damn. I was like, I don't know what to say.
All right, so let's go ahead and segue to another young player, but doing good things.
So not yikes.
We're going to talk about Ansu Fati, man. The kid can play, man. This is a Barcelona product. Obviously, you know that. But he just became the youngest scorer in Spain's history at 17 years old.
Yeah. Who held the current record?
I have no idea. I would assume Fernando Torres is the name that I would think of. But obviously, I decided not to do that homework. Thanks for calling me out, asshole. But I mean, that goal was a thing of beauty. You know how much I love those outside the box shots, man. And that was a real well placed goal. If that's how you start your career with Spain, man. But that's also the other thing, dude. This is the future of Spain right here. Ansu Fati. I mean, what does that say for Spain? I mean, Spain's always going to be in the conversation, obviously.
Spain always has those young prospects that they come out of the woodworks out of nowhere. They're always going to have that hype. They're always going to have the hype. It's just, you just got to know where to find them. Because, I mean, you got Ansu Fati, and then
who else? I mean, that was a big game for them. They obviously scored 4 goals. Just solid game for them. I mean, another person that scored a goal was Ferran Torres, another young Spanish player that just recently just signed to Manchester City.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see him. That's another guy that I actually poach in FIFA. Mm-hmm. I like how we're talking about our FIFA our FIFA games here. But yeah, no, the future of Spain looks very bright for them, especially on the attack side. So, I mean, it's very interesting to see what Spain's going to have in the future. But, I mean, Ansu Fati is going to be part of that future for Barcelona, hopefully, if they keep him.
I mean, because they were, even though he wasn't great, they got rid of Xavi Simons. But then, you know, you got Ansu Fati, and I mean, there's a little hope. There's that light in the darkness.
Another young player that we haven't talked about yet, but Conrad De La Fuente, man, the first American to play for Barcelona.
That's another one. And he's doing good. He's actually playing pretty well.
You know that I'm excited when I'm talking about a Barcelona player.
makes me
happy to hear about the future for the U.S. men's national team for sure. Because, well, I think the team has a bright future, but not with Greg Berhalter. I'm a Berhalter all guy, but that's for another day. And so this is gonna be the last headline for today, and that is the Ballon d'Or. I mean, should they have the award? Should they at least try to do it? I mean, they can do a social. They just do a virtual show.
Just a virtual show. Do it from home, and whoever wins it, you know, they do the whole like Academy Award thing. Like, I couldn't be there today, but here I am with the trophy, with the Ballon.
So obviously we're both on board that they should probably try to have the ceremony. But of course, if that's the case, who do you think? I think it's a clear, obvious choice of who deserves it.
I mean, you already know my choice. I told you earlier.
I mean, I'm on the same boat with you. Robert Lewandowski had an amazing season. There's no way you cannot say that.
He won everything. There was a goal.
He won a treble.
I think he probably scored a goal without even looking.
He won a treble. I mean, he won both titles over that the Germans win with Bayern Munich. And then obviously won the Champions League. Not a great Champions League, but they won the Champions League.
Yeah, but I mean, it was like a rushed Champions League, and I think there was a survey around talking about, should we no longer have the second leg? Now it's just gonna be one leg all the way.
I they gotta keep the second leg. You gotta be able to still have a chance. You still have to have a chance to play at home.
Yeah, I know. It can't just be one leg. Yeah. It's like, okay, we're done. Like,
nah, for sure.
Then at that point, if they ever do that, if they ever do that, if they were ever for some reason take off the second leg, then that means they would probably have to do everything offside. Like, for example, if Barca and Real, you know, go head to head, they basically wouldn't play in Barcelona or in Madrid. They would probably play somewhere in there. Maybe Atletico Madrid might be like, hey, we'll open the fucking stadium for you guys. And
I mean, obviously, the whole having the championship in a separate country would be great still. But I mean, I still think you need to have the two legs.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree with that.
And there's just that thing, because I don't know what it is, man. I find so electric is that the parentheses, like what the goal score, the actual aggregate score is, and especially when there's a team that's like down 3-1.
See, look, if it wasn't for the aggregate, if it wasn't for the second team or the second game, the game before Roma where Barcelona came back with PSG.
Don't go there, man. You're just gonna hurt yourself, man.
I know. I dug myself in a hole here. My foot's in there already. Might as well just.
But hey, man, PSG knows about that.
Oh, s'il vous plaît.
Man, I just gotta say, the fact that PSG made, this is how you know that this Champions League was just weird, is the fact that PSG made it to the final. The fact that the semifinals consisted of Lyon.
That was just a big surprise.
RB Leipzig. But
Memphis Depay had a lot to do with that.
And that's also a possible Barcelona.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading the headlines on that, and that was actually pretty good. I was like, I mean, but I guess it's a replacement for Neymar.
I just think it was bizarre, man. The fact that you had two French teams, which, I mean, it's great that you're gonna that it shows that like it's not just gonna be the same teams winning over and over again. And I think you've noticed that.
Yeah.
It's always at least a different country. I mean, if you went back to back, I mean, Real Madrid did, but three times in a row. By the
way. Somebody's a fool of themselves. But go ahead.
I mean, 13 Champions League titles. I mean, anyways, but the fact is though, it's very open. I know it's literally what it is. It's the Champions League. You have a lot of great teams playing against each other, and yeah, it's gonna be at least there's gonna be an England team. There's gonna be a German team, most likely a Spanish side.
The one that did surprise me, however, was what was the team? What was the team that made it out of the groups? I wasn't expecting.
Lyon. I mean, that was my surprise.
Not Lyon. It wasn't Lyon.
Atalanta.
There you go. The Italy team.
They almost made it through.
I know. That's what I was like. I was really surprised. I was like, what in the hell is going on?
Man, like I felt terrible. But I mean, at least Real Madrid lost to Man City, but. I was gonna be so mad if Man City won the title, but the fact that Leon goes ahead and beats them, yeah. And they beat Juventus. I was
surprised at the Juventus game, honestly, because Juventus is a very well old machine kind of team. Like they do belong in the Champions League, and I mind you, I'm a Dybala fan, so I was expecting to see him shine, and you got Ronaldo in there.
They just didn't look like they just didn't look good at all.
Yeah, they were like.
But you know what? So continuing on with the Ballon d'Or, I feel like we went on a big tangent there with Champions League.
Yeah.
But I told y'all we'll get off topic.
We took one step forward and we just jumped into a whole different kind of pool when we left.
So this is literally our conversations. This is literally how we talk. Like,
yep, this is exactly how we talk.
But at least this time we're trying to stay structured because usually I don't know one day we're talking about soccer next.
If I cussed, I am so sorry because usually I do have cuss words in my vocabulary.
I think also it's funny because I mean most of our conversations we would be talking about soccer and all of a sudden we're talking about How I Met Your Mother.
Right.
Yeah, so there's that. But so for 2021, who do you think is gonna win the Ballon d'Or? Like, I mean, obviously we haven't seen anybody play yet.
We haven't really seen anybody play. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's not gonna be Messi.
I think it's very safe to assume that.
I think
it's also very safe to assume it's not gonna be Cristiano Ronaldo.
It's not gonna be Neymar. Honestly, I want to root for Lewandowski, but if anything that I've seen right now, maybe Timo Werner. Chelsea,
you know what? That's a pretty good one. I'm actually gonna go ahead and say I think Sadio Mane is gonna have an amazing season.
That's actually true. Yeah,
I think this is gonna finally be the year for him. I don't know what it is. I think he's just gonna have a breakout year. We'll get to the EPL, but like you know, I'm really looking really high on that Liverpool team. But anyways. So that was just that. So Sadio Mane is my pick to win the Ballon d'Or.
I go with
very
Timo
very
Werner.
Early, very early predictions.
I'm like I said,
watch us be wrong.
Like I'm not even a Chelsea fan, and yet I say Timo Werner because he's played good. I was watching the Switzerland Germany the highlights, and I gotta say he was shooting a lot. But it felt like that game.
We'll actually get to that because we're gonna talk about some games. We're gonna always try to highlight. Three games. We're gonna try to go different leagues whenever we highlight some games. Because I mean, I'm not trying to always just talk about Europe, but for this case, we're gonna talk about Europe. But Europe. The first one is actually gonna be, and this is a little bit biased because we're gonna talk about the Houston Dynamo. Dynamo beat Sporting KC 2-1. That's three wins in a row. Three wins for new manager Tab Ramos. I am a Dynamo fan. I mean, we live in Houston,
Yep.
Edward's a Euro snob, so he doesn't necessarily care too much about the MLS.
I don't care.
But that is the Dynamo's third win in a row, which is crazy to think because the way they started out this season, it didn't look that great for them. Then they went to the MLS's back tournament. By the way, electric name for a tournament. MLS is back, baby.
MLS is back tournament.
Great name. But the Dynamo just had rough games. And then finally, they just got it together in this, I guess, restart for the season. And they have yet to have lost a game. The first game was a draw, but then from there on out, it has been win after win.
And I was thinking that maybe this past game was going to be a loss. Cause
it was looking that way. But, I mean, in these last three games, man, the Dynamo have scored 10 goals. And some of those come from substitutions.
Yeah.
So,
I think that's their strategy right now.
I think
super sub strat.
When I was telling people about the Dynamo, man, like, I think initially when I saw the team playing, at least in the beginning, it didn't look like Tab Ramos' style. So, for those who don't know who Tab Ramos is, he was the U20 national team coach for the U.S. And obviously, they've had some pretty good success in as far as World Cup competitions. But this is his first time being a manager of a senior team. And initially, it just didn't look like a Tab Ramos team. But now, they look like a Tab Ramos team. The team is attacking. I'm not trying to sip on the Kool-Aid and think that the Dynamo are going to win a championship, but they look really good, and I think they're going to definitely be in the conversation for sure to at least make the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with that one. I mean, like I said, I mean they surprised the crud out of me when they actually.
I like how you're trying to keep it down on your swearing there.
Yeah, I know, that's how I had to think it through there. But they did surprise me with that, especially coming back from behind win. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, I mean, so Dynamo looked pretty good, man. All right, so the next game, we're going to talk about Portugal just beating Croatia 4-1.
I have something to say about that one.
Can we just mention the fact that Cristiano Ronaldo did not even play this game?
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Like, but he still had a highlight. Yeah. He didn't play a game, but had a highlight.
He was there. He was celebrating. He was celebrating.
Basically. He was asked to put on his mask.
Yeah.
That was his highlight. That was the highlight. Cristiano Ronaldo was him being told. I don't know who it was. Probably someone from the in charge of someone that works for the stadium. Literally goes up to him and is like, "Hey, you need to put your mask on." And it was just literally the most awkward thing I have ever seen in my life. But it was amazing because it was like, "Hey, you know, he's human."
Of course.
Next thing you know, you're gonna see Cristiano Ronaldo at a Walmart fighting for his right to not wear a mask.
Calm down, Karen. Calm down.
But the four goals that were scored by was from João Cancelo, Diego Jota.
Diego Jota's goal was nice. I like that one. Where he would just went in the box and then he just shot it. And at first, I think everybody was just like tippy-toeing around him. Like, oh, I don't want to hurt him because he's in the penalty area.
João Felix, I mean, João Felix has to score. João Felix has to score, right?
That was a hell of a shot. I think the goalie even touched it, but it still went in.
That kid needs to get out of Atletico Madrid, by the way. But
where do you think he's gonna go?
I don't know, but hopefully either for my team, who's not playing in that league.
What about
he can go play in the MLS.
What about in Barcelona?
No. Right. And the last goal was from Andre Silva.
Yeah, that one. That last one was. It was like pure. I want to say it was skill. He just outstretched the crap out of his foot, his toes. Probably his toenail grew as soon as he hit it. Because I swear to God, he literally went around that defender and just tapped it in.
Would you say it's magisterial?
That's magisterial. No, it was not magisterial. It was just,
no, definitely the João Felix goal was probably.
That was
majestic.
Like a gazelle leaping in
the jungle.
Oh, man.
If you guys don't watch BN Sports games in English, you guys would not get that reference.
Oh, man. I love that announcer.
All right. But what. The fact that they were able to do this without Cristiano Ronaldo, the GOAT, I'm using air quotes, by the way, so people are like, oh, because he's a Real Madrid fan, he must love Cristiano Ronaldo.
That's the air quotes.
He's the GOAT. I mean, I'll say it. Messi is the best player in the world. I'll admit it. I'm not ashamed to admit it. And you know what? The reason why I say Messi also is because he's 5'7". You know, like, he's representing my short people. Like, you know? I'm 5'6", okay?
I'm 5'9", so I don't know.
You're average, man.
Yeah, I'm average, so.
Jerk. I'm such a heightist.
I see that.
Cristiano Ronaldo's like 6'2" or something like that.
I believe so, actually. His man run made him an extra inch or two bigger. So.
But yeah, so.
you didn't think about that.
With that being said, man, is Portugal in good hands post Cristiano Ronaldo?
Oh, yeah. Hands on, yeah. A lot of their players, a lot of up-and-coming players.
How do you think Cristiano Ronaldo would feel if, like, once he retires, Portugal goes ahead and wins the World Cup?
Oh, dude, he would be so pissed.
You know what's weird?
If anything, I think he's gonna try to squeeze himself when he's like
that. Dude's gonna 40. Try to pull. Yeah, he's gonna try to pull
40. Him. He's gonna be a sub.
He's probably gonna be a sub.
I mean, think about it. Nino Torres, he did that when Spain won the World Cup. He was a sub. He wasn't mm-hmm. a starter. He wasn't the starting.
But David Villa, you know what's so crazy to me though, like with that being said, with Portugal, man, because Portugal obviously they won the Euros. That was their. Then they won the first Nations League for UEFA. You know, things are pointing in the right direction for Portugal. I'm getting France vibes.
Again. Again, France vibes.
From Portugal?
No, you said. Oh, okay.
Like I'm getting the vibes from like the French national team. Okay. What France did, which I was like, okay, this team looks like they can win it all. I said it. France was gonna win the World Cup. What'd they do? Win the World Cup. It's not so much the fact that it's like they're young players, but it's young players with experience. And I think that that's what you're seeing with Portugal. Because I mean, all four of those guys are under the age of 26.
Yep.
Well, the oldest is 26. The rest of them are probably underneath.
What is it? Este Bernardo? Silva? No, Bernardo Silva. I'm tripping. I think it was somebody else. Este.
João Cancelo?
No.
Because he's the 26-year-old.
Is he?
Yeah. From Manchester City.
Oh, no. I'm thinking of the shots he took. That's why I was like, here. I'm over here thinking Bernardo. And I'm like, this is the shots
you know, I'm really surprised that when I saw Silva on the score sheet, I literally thought Bernardo Silva. And then I was like, oh, no, it's Andre Silva.
Yeah.
There's a lot
I'm telling you, he dislocated his ankle somehow by trying to squeeze
that. I'm sure AC Milan fans are going to be happy to hear about Andre Silva. Yeah. Though, is he going to be able to play? Because, I mean, Zlatan. He's staying for one more year with AC Milan, so it's gonna be interesting how they're gonna incorporate Silva in him.
They may put him as a false nine,
or they might send him back out on loan.
Could be.
But let's segue into some sort of disappointment. Germany drew with Switzerland 1-1. What's crazy is Germany has still not won a Nations League game. They've only played like four Nations League games.
Yeah.
To begin with, but you're still talking about Germany, the standard of international.
I do have something to defend them against with what you're saying. They literally played with like not even their starting lineup, like World Cup lineup.
You're basically anything. Saying that they used their Confederations
they,
Cup lineup.
They literally did. I mean, Julian Draxler was there.
I knew it wasn't their star team when I saw Leno. Even though I'm happy as an Arsenal fan, I'm happy to see Leno. But also at the same time, I'm kind of disappointed.
Yeah, dude, like,
no. But then again, the man just came off of an injury.
True.
That's my argument for Leno.
But the thing is, they were just using, I guess you can call them like the sub players.
So with that being said, man, is there any concern for Germany, or is this just like, eh?
No, honestly, I don't think it's a concern because actually Switzerland has put out good defenders. Akanji is one of the defenders from Borussia, and I mean. He's really good.
I get that as well. But I mean, at the same time, obviously this isn't the starting Germany team.
Yeah.
Like I don't think you saw Boateng. You didn't see.
Nope.
Müller. You didn't see the regulars.
Yeah. You didn't see the regulars.
Well, I mean, I'm sure Müller's probably
Rose.
Müller's probably gonna be off the bench at least at some point. No, actually, you know what? I think he's like 29 or something like that.
Yeah.
Müller looks old. Like
he just looks old all in general.
Like I look at Müller, I'm like, man, that dude's gotta be like 35.
Yeah, he's
he just looks
older. He just mature.
Yeah, I think that's what I always like. I just see Müller and I'm just like, God, he's so old. And then I look at his age and I'm like, really?
Yeah, he's actually. I'm gonna tell you, right, he's actually 30. Wow. But he looks older than I do. Holy.
Dude, man. God. That dude's been stressed. Like, he went through something, man. Like,
probably, but man.
But, yeah, I think it's not so much of a concern. I mean, I like Nations League. I like what FIFA has done with this Nations League idea, which is kind of just, you know, because international friendlies, it's cool. But what's really the point of really playing the guys, and besides just testing out, maybe hey, this guy might be able to work out in a tournament or two. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I gotta give props to Switzerland, Xhaka in particular. He was playing really good.
I'm so indifferent about Xhaka. I'm so happy to see him play well, but at the same time, I hate Xhaka. Not my captain.
I mean, honestly, he was playing really well. His shots were, when he would try to shoot from outside.
But in Shaka's defense, though, I definitely want to see how he's going to play with Mikel Arteta and Arsenal. So yeah. Hopefully he stays with Arsenal. Hopefully they don't shop him out. But, I might be able to change my mind with Shaka, but yeah, I mean, I
could just see you sitting down on the table like the meme talking about Shaka is not a good player. Change my mind, and you're just sitting there with your arms crossed.
But I'm actually saying my mind could be changed.
Exactly.
All right, so those are the games that we wanted to highlight. So now we're getting into some league previews. Obviously, we're not doing this every single time because, well, it's not like there's a league starting every single time.
Yeah, pretty much.
But the league previews, obviously, EPL and La Liga are going to be starting this weekend. All right, so EPL, who do you think will be getting relegated?
I don't know. I honestly have to look it up. I'm not even going to lie to you.
I feel like it has to be at least one of the recently promoted teams. It's always one of the most recent promoted teams that ends up getting. Yeah, you know what? We should probably have had this already done.
I'm not. I guess maybe not. You know what? Nottingham Forest. I think Leeds United has a higher chance than Nottingham, but I could be wrong. I mean, that's the thing with these teams that just barely came up. You know, they surprised the hell out of some people. Like,
I think so, but I might say Fulham.
Really?
I'd probably say Fulham.
Well, Fulham used to be in the Premier League, and then they went back down. And, then,
you know, and now they're back up. So, we're going to just keep playing this dance with Fulham. It's always a safe bet with Fulham.
It's like, they're going to be there all someday.
Right. What team do you think is going to be a surprise this season?
Like in EPL?
Yeah, EPL. Obviously, we're just... This is all EPL right now. We'll get to the Superior League after we're done talking about the EPL. Obviously, you guys know I'm biased. I prefer La Liga.
We haven't even talked about Calcio. But anyways, that's a whole different point. Honestly, I can't say what would be a surprise. I honestly think... you know what? I'm going to take that back. I think Chelsea is going to be the surprise.
Chelsea?
Yeah, I think...
They made some
purchases. So, I mean...
I got to say, man. ESPN FC, man. You talk about, you know, throwing salt on the wound. When they had that graphic of showing that, you know, the three young players that they just signed, Timo Werner, Ziyech, and I hope that's how you pronounce his name, and the other player, Kai Havertz.
Oh yeah. Oh, Kai Havertz. Yes.
Yes.
That dude is
Those three players alone worth around 150 million euros. Eden Hazard, 144 million euros. Fuck me, man.
Bro, I'm telling you, that Kai
Havertz... that recent picture of Real Madrid training, freaking Eden Hazard looks pretty yoked. He looked like he's been going to the gym for a while, so...
The gym, or...
He looks like he's been going to the gym. Hopefully that means that he will not be... He'll be injury-free this year.
Hopefully. Because, I mean, I've been wanting to see him play, and I haven't, so...
And when you do see him play, it's not like... It's not the Hazard that I know.
Yeah, it's not the Hazard that basically takes from the wing to the middle and goes down the middle. All
right, staying with the EPL, who do you think is going to be the player to watch this year?
This is going to poke some fun at you. Willian.
I don't know how that's really offensive to me. I mean,
no, I'm just poking some fun at you.
Oh, wait, are you dead serious for Willian?
No.
I was about to say, I was like, I mean, okay.
No. No.
That move still...
Honestly, I still have my eye on Pulisic.
Pulisic?
Because I feel like he...
So he's just going to be feeding Timo Werner because you got Timo Werner winning the ball on the door, so he's going to be feeding...
Pretty much. I think that's exactly what's going to happen.
I think it's a safe bet to use a Chelsea player just because I think Chelsea's gonna be really good this year.
Kai Havertz, I don't need to have to say too much about him, but he's just naturally damn good. Man. You got Pulisic, who is the number 10. He's a winger.
So, man. I think for me, the player to watch is going... Wait, did I say what team? The team that I'm going to say that's going to... I'm going to throw both of them in there. The team that I think is going to surprise a lot of people is going to be Everton. And I think the player that's gonna player to watch is gonna be James Rodriguez, who just joined Everton, rejoining his good old manager Carlo Ancelotti. I mean, I'm a big Ancelotti guy. I think that he is definitely the right move for Everton. I think that they're still missing some things, but I think Everton's gonna be an interesting team to watch this year. And I think James Rodriguez is finally gonna have his bounce back, kind of going back to the way he played when he was with Bayern. But I think he's gonna definitely have a more better role with Everton now that he's for sure gonna be playing.
Yeah, I agree there. Like he was just sitting on the bench in Real Madrid and. Then, you know, in Bayern, I mean, who you're really going to take Thiago Alcantara's spot? No, you're not.
Yeah. And now, bold predictions. What is your bold prediction for this EPL season? Or you want me to go first? I can go first. Arsenal is making the Champions League.
All right, guys. I think we're about to call it a night.
I'm calling it. Arsenal is going to be in a Champions League spot by the end of the season. Oh, geez. I believe in them. They didn't make any big signings.
No, they did not.
I mean, they got a defender. I believe in Mikel Arteta. I do believe that the players being together, I think they'll probably benefit in some way from getting rid of Bellerin. But if they do sell Bellerin, I know it's not between PSG and Juventus, but
I got a surprise bold prediction. Manchester United. They're going into the Champions League.
What the hell? Like, you literally just took my pick, except picked your team.
I honestly would say Liverpool. I have been going for Liverpool more nowadays because Man U has just been.
Oh, you're a two teamer.
Yes, I'm a two teamer when it comes to. Come on, think about it. When it was Liverpool, when Nino Torres was playing, I was following Liverpool. Yeah. And then when Steven.
But Joe I mean, you're a Barcelona fan, so I mean.
Yeah. But I mean I want to say Manchester United is making it because I mean Marcus Rashford, Jesse Lingard, like they've been showing up. Like,
okay,
I feel like Marcus Rashford has actually been playing well, and I'm not going to say oh my god he's been amazing. I'm not going to compare him to Lewandowski, but
they'll be in that the top four.
I think so. I really okay. do. I really do.
All right, we'll see how we're probably both going to be wrong at this. But all right, but that's why they're bold. They're bold predictions for a reason.
Very bold.
All right, who do you think is going to win the EPL?
With all these new signings that these teams have done, I mean, it's a tie between Liverpool and Chelsea. I'm not a Chelsea fan though.
But I mean, if you like, who do you think is going to who edges one over?
I want to say Liverpool. Liverpool has a better edge because Chelsea is basically going to trying to find their rhythm. Even though they have all these good players, they still have like the whole season to find out and try to have to get everything together. While Liverpool, you know, they're already set and they still have the youth and the experience. I mean, I'm not saying like, oh my God, they're super young, but they still have that youth. The Mo Salah, Sadio Mane, Roberto Firmino. I mean, you got that. You got that. That is a hell of a trident there.
I'm going to go ahead and say Liverpool repeats.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, Jurgen Klopp built this team.
Oh, man. Jurgen
Klopp built this team very well.
One of my favorite coaches of
all
time.
Do I think Chelsea has a shot? For sure. I mean, the fact that these young players have now have more experience playing with each other, I think now he's trusting more Christian Pulisic.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they play good when Christian Pulisic plays good.
Yeah.
But now you're adding Timo Werner. I feel bad for Tammy Abraham, but I mean, like, yeah, it's Timo Werner.
Yeah,
you're getting all these young signings. You got Mount. I mean, this team is just going to be making. They're gonna put in some work this season.
They're gonna be pretty stacked.
But I mean, you can't count out Man City as well. But I mean, Liverpool just a class.
I made a face when he said Man City. You can't count Man City. I count him out already. Yeah. Honestly, I can't.
I just like Pep. I mean,
I know Pep is a good coach. He is legit maybe my favorite coach, but not with the Man City now. He would have to bring up somebody
they'll finish in the top 3.
I think yeah. I want to say top 5.
Top 5. Wow, you're thinking they're not even going to touch Champions League.
They could. It's a possibility.
All right.
I actually have,
but I mean, for sure, I think Liverpool is just—they're just in a class of their own. I think.
Yeah.
I think right now everybody's just trying to keep up with Liverpool, and that's gonna.
Liverpool has that
and
pace. They have that pace.
I don't think they signed Thiago yet, but I know that they've been rumored with him.
Yeah.
And if they add him.
Oh, man. That's it.
Liverpool is going to be a really, really nasty team.
Well, but the thing is.
But they're already a nasty team.
How do you say his name? Weinling?
Oh.
I can't say his
name. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I'm not going to try. He's just going to Barcelona.
Yeah, they're saying. So,
which leaves. Once again, another midfielder? What does Barcelona need?
I think they're trying to replace Rakitic, but at the same time, I don't think that's the case. They need to work on their defense. Period.
It's just like you get rid of Arthur, a younger player. Basically, it's for the same player.
They got rid of Rafinha.
Oh, they did. I forgot about that one. That did happen.
And too. Rafinha was good. That's Thiago's brother.
Yep.
So I'm like, he's good, and yet.
But yeah, so that's the EPL. So. Are our predictions going to happen? Probably not. All right. So, La Liga. I'm not even going to ask, who gets relegated because I'm sure both of us did not look at the table yet. So, we're going to go ahead and ignore that question because I don't want any more, dead, some silence.
Las Palmas.
Yeah. what team is going to surprise everyone?
Honestly, if you notice, La Liga hasn't really made any purchases that have come out to be, or you don't have anybody up and coming. They haven't really made those I'm not talking about Barcelona and Real Madrid. I'm talking about Atletico Bilbao, Celta Vigo.
Well,
actually, you know what?
Villarreal did get Kubo in the loan.
I take it back. Sevilla. I think Sevilla will surprise people.
Dang, that was actually gonna be my pick too.
Because now,
all right. I have a question for you. So Sevilla, after winning this recent EuroLeague, has just been officially the most successful team in EuroLeague history. Is that really worth bragging about? I mean, it's still a European tournament.
It's not a brag. It's more of a for your information kind of thing. Because I don't think like you said, is it really a brag? I personally wouldn't be bragging it unless if I won La Liga, and then I'd be like, oh. We also got this. This is just the cherry on top, you know. Then I would be
but like, I definitely do like Sevilla. I think they're gonna be an interesting team to watch. Hopefully, they can maybe do well in Champions League because I'm pretty sure if you win the EuroLeague, you get moved. Which
yeah,
one of those championships that they had was a back to back. So that means that they did not they finished third in their group and then got sent to EuroLeague.
Sevilla has surprising players. They're not big name players, so I can't name most of them off the top of my head.
But they're a grinded out team. They're very blue collar.
They're very blue collar.
I agree with you. I definitely agree with Sevilla. All right, who is the player to watch this season?
Oh, I mean, with all the controversy, Messi, honestly, because you want to see if he's gonna tone down his game or if he's actually still gonna grind it out like he always does. Because I mean, think about it. With all this shit that's going on, I tried to stop cussing, but it didn't work. With all this shit that's going on, you kind of want to keep an eye on him to see if he's going to be maybe one of those players where he's okay, think about it. Coutinho, when he came to Barcelona from Liverpool, he was playing amazing. He was doing great, and all of a sudden he heard the Barcelona rumor, and he was kind of toned it down, and he was kind of having fights here and there, just, not fighting physically, but, so now you got to kind of see where Messi's on this thing right now. And that's who I want to see. Hopefully he still keeps his 100, he still keeps playing his heart out as much as he does.
I'm pretty sure he will. It's not so much for the
he's not for the president.
The president, but he's going to do it for Barcelona.
For the fans and for the players themselves, because a lot of the players join the team because he's in there.
Yeah, so I think Messi's definitely gonna be. It's an interesting storyline with Messi right now.
Yeah.
For me, the player to watch, and I'm just gonna go ahead and say it's João Felix.
I mean, he yeah,
and
he,
and the reason why I mean I think it's kind of like a no brainer.
I mean, young talent. I mean,
but I think that he has definitely the opportunity to get into that top level for him.
He does because Atlético Madrid does have the players. It's just.
Because when I look at Real Madrid, I mean, obviously you have Karim Benzema, who's probably going to be up there in the score sheets, but and as well, obviously Lionel Messi as well. But this could be the opportunity for João Felix to definitely push himself in front of those two in this, especially with Atletico Madrid obviously trying to be like, trying to get themselves up there and be like, hey, you know, we're in this league too.
Yeah.
So I think if João Félix can have a great year, I don't think they're going to win it, but I definitely think that João Félix can definitely make a real name for himself.
He can actually pop out and do something.
Mm-hmm. So I'd definitely say João Félix. So what is your bold prediction?
Honestly, you're going to look at me like, what? I, with this year, with the squad that's currently there, and I hate to say it, I don't think Barcelona is going to make it to the Champions League.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, Messi can carry so much, but you got Coutinho back, and I'm waiting to see him play. Like, I'm waiting to see what he is, but that's basically my bold prediction. Like, they're not going to make it to the Champions League. Not with the defense that's on right now. That defense is... You would think that Piqué would be able to stop headers or to stop somebody coming along his way, but he's no Carles Puyol. So, yeah, I mean, it's just...
That's a bold one for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, his eyes just popped out of his head a little bit. Hit his glasses, too.
I was pretty shocked by that, actually. for me, honestly, I feel like Celta Vigo is going to somehow qualify for Champions League.
By Barcelona failing.
Probably. Well, I mean, now that you put it out there.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. There's something about Celta Vigo that I just... It's like this weird... It's basically Barcelona Junior because they pretty much just poach all the former players from Barcelona. Maybe that's the reason why. It's like they got all the players that Barcelona should have probably kept. and there's the team. But I think Celta Vigo... I don't know what it is, man. Aspas is just another player that, like, just... I'm like, man, that guy can play. Just... He plays for Celta Vigo. But I think Celta Vigo will be definitely a team that I think could definitely do some things. So, for who I think is going to win La Liga, I mean, come on. It's repeat time. Real Madrid is going to win La Liga. I think... They didn't make any, like, big splashy moves. Hopefully they sell Gareth Bale. But I feel like they don't really need to make any moves right now. I mean, they have Karim Benzema, who's pretty solid. Hopefully this means that we might see some Marco Asensio again.
I doubt it.
We definitely need some more Isco. But I think Real Madrid is pretty kind of set where they're at. You know, maybe they could... And not even defensively. I mean, defensively, I think the team is just really well all around. Now you have a whole year together. And I think that just kind of makes Real Madrid a little bit more dangerous, in my opinion. So,
yeah. And I mean, you got Sergio Ramos leading the pack back there, so that's why you have a decent.
But also the fact that, like, I think that you're gonna see a little bit more from these two young Brazilians that they have in Rodrigo and Vinicius.
Yeah.
So I think I mean everything as of right now, the way, especially how you give me this whole depressing soapbox here about Barcelona, I think that obviously everything's pointing in the right direction, that right direction is Real Madrid.
I seem to have basically started the telenovela over here. Like I said, that's my bold prediction. That's his bold prediction, and it all just points to basically Real Madrid winning La Liga again. Unless Atletico Madrid just comes out of nowhere with João Félix and all of a sudden, oh my god, they beat the hell out of Real Madrid and Barcelona all together. They win.
You know, Real Madrid does always have that thing where they always lose to a team that they shouldn't lose to.
Who are you talking to? Barcelona did the same thing last time.
Espanol?
How do you think they had the league?
The league was theirs.
They pulled in a Aubameyang. They fucking let the trophy go up in the floor, and they're like, "Whoops!" And it just got
splashed. For some reason, I thought you said they pulled in a Aubameyang.
They did. That's like he dropped the FA Cup, and they dropped the freaking La Liga Cup. They just,
se me cayó. All right, so to wrap things up, man, we're gonna go ahead and do this thing. We're gonna have this thing called "Would You Rather," kind of a way for you guys to get to know us a little bit better. Just not only know us for our soccer vibes, but just know who we are, which are basically, to sum it up, we're just two idiots.
I know you.
That was disturbing, but that kind of sums up. That basically sums it up. All right, Edward, And this, these questions are probably going to give you guys an idea of who, what we like, what our interests are. So, first, would you rather? Would you rather watch Scott's Tots or The Dinner Party? And for those who don't know that, it's The Office. These are, I guess, voted on like the two cringiest episodes.
Which Dinner Party? The Jan and Michael one?
Or Jan and Michael. No, that's The Garden Party.
Okay, that's right. Yeah.
No, that was also a pretty awkward episode. Yeah, it was.
And now, like, what was it?
The Last Supper.
The Last Supper, and then he just stands there.
But yeah, so me and Edward are big, big total Office nerds. So, so what would you rather watch, Scott's Tots or The Dinner Party?
The Dinner Party. Scott's Tots just made me cringe so bad. Here's a secret. I always skip that episode. I'll probably watch the beginning of it before they get to school. After that, I just go ahead and skip it. I tough through it.
Like, yeah, because there's some other things in that episode that I like. It's definitely the most difficult episode to watch for me. I'd rather watch The Dinner Party just because, like,
Made me a man.
Wow, that was terrible.
You gonna put that on the show, right? Yeah, you gonna put that on the show. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure everybody's cringe right now. the cringe level is high right now. I'm so sorry about that, everybody. But yeah, I'll pick the dinner.
I apologize for my horrible voice.
I'll pick definitely The Dinner Party. I think I would much rather watch Dinner Party than Scott's Tots. All right. Be led by Joffrey Baratheon or Ramsay Bolton?
Joffrey, because I can kill him. Because he's a little twerp. Bolton, he has that cold-bloodedness where it's like you barely get him wrong.
I'd rather be led by Ramsay Bolton because that dude's about stuff, man.
Why? Because he took some dude's wang off?
Well, no, because, I mean, like, he was all about the wars and stuff. Like, I just, you know, like, he looked like he was ready to kill you. So, I mean, like.
Exactly. Well, you looked at him wrong.
Meanwhile, Joffrey was running away while he was, like, hanging out in the castle while they were shooting arrows on a boat.
I'll kill him myself, and then I'll go ahead and take lead.
Yeah, the question is to be led by, not to, like, plan the assassination of Joffrey. Everyone wants to plan the assassination of Joffrey.
All right, if you put it I guess I'll go for the wang cutter.
But also funny, what was the more satisfying death? Joffrey or Bolton?
Well, Bolton got killed by his own dog, but Joffrey
he got poisoned.
Yeah, he got poisoned, but it looked like he was trying to fart and all of a sudden it got stuck in there and all of a sudden it just went back up and just
like I think like Sansa?
Yeah, Sansa.
The one that, like, she locked him into the cage and let his dogs, like, kill him. I thought that was...
Yeah, that was...
For all that she went through, I think that was, like, probably more satisfying than Joffrey. Even though I honestly hated Joffrey.
I hated Sansa from the beginning, and then...
She was annoying time, the whole... I hated her from the beginning.
She became cold-blooded, like, a warrior princess, kind
of. No, she got annoying at the end.
Well, I didn't, I mean, when she went to Ramsay Bolton.
Oh, yeah.
Like, by then, at that point, she was like...
She had that, what doesn't kill you makes me stronger.
Yeah, she had that.
She listens to Kelly Clarkson afterwards.
Oh, yeah, very much.
All right, next question. Hang out in Central Perk or McLaren's Pub?
McLaren's Pub.
All right, for people that don't know that reference, Central Perk is obviously the coffee shop from Friends. And McLaren's Pub is the bar they hung out at.
I Met Your Mother.
New York-based shows.
And yeah, I mean, I'd rather drink tequila than coffee.
That sounds very depressing, by the way.
It is when you had a long day.
But you know what? I agree with you. I honestly will say McLaren's because to me, like, I just got off work. Last thing I want to do is drink coffee. I mean, I'll drink coffee. I like drinking coffee, but.
Or would you rather drink at Puzzles? What's the puzzle?
That's the point. Anyway, but yeah, I'd rather hang out at McLaren's. I think for sure after a long day of work, I'd rather go to a bar than at a coffee shop. And it just seemed uncomfortable them holding their coffee mugs and then like while they're sitting on a couch, like there's a coffee table.
I'd do that with like a glass of milk or something.
Yeah, because you don't drink coffee.
Yeah, when I drink coffee, I'll get okay. But
yeah, for sure, for me, it's McLaren's Pub.
I go with a bang.
Would you rather watch Netflix or Hulu? What's the better streaming service?
Well, on that one, I haven't watched Hulu in a while. There's a lot of episodes of shit that I haven't even seen. So I guess Netflix. I've been watching Netflix. Been watching The Legend of Korra. Any Avatar fans out there? Woot woot.
Oh yeah, I did hear that they just added that.
Yeah, they did. I'm about to finish it anyways.
I would say Hulu, and it's only because I have the HBO Max.
I have HBO Max, but I don't have the Hulu.
I have the HBO add-on just because like I like HBO, and so for me being able
I
to
like that a lot.
Me being able to watch like shows like Silicon Valley or the Wire. Or The Sopranos, which is that's what I'm currently binging on right now is The Sopranos.
Woke up this morning.
Great intro. I remember watching Sopranos and there was a point where I would just be saying gabagool, even though that's not what they're saying. And that's also a great Office episode.
All right, Michael Scott. I have the gabagool. The gaba what? Gabagool.
Anyways, all right. And the last one. This one's the most important one to me.
Oh, jeez.
Creed or Nickelback?
Oh, jeez. If you guys are trying to imagine my face, it's kind of twisted a little bit.
These are by far the two bands that people just don't want to admit they like. That's what I think.
This is a guilty pleasure band.
Yeah,
it's the one you know sit alone in a closet, make sure that it's soundproof, and you blast the crap out of that.
You know what it is too, though? It's the two bands that you will never go to a live concert to, because they're gonna be filled with the most bros you've ever seen in your life.
I've met people who've actually been to those concerts, and let me tell you something. Yeah, there is not. I don't even know what to say to that one. All I can think of. Is your voice when you sing Creed. And
so you just admitted that you don't lock yourself up in a room to blast Creed.
Hell no. You would be able to hear it. Sure. Hell no. No, man. I don't know.
Alright, so what's your pick?
I guess Nickelback. I had to choose Nickelback because I'm like, at least Santana played with Chad Kroeger. But, you know.
I still can't believe Chad Kroeger dated Avril Lavigne. Or, well, no, was married to Avril Lavigne.
I mean, what can you do? You know, he doesn't have that buku money like Breaking Benjamin.
He has that raspy Chevelle. He has that raspy voice.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sing. I can't. You looked at me as if I was going to, like, sing a Nickelback song. What the hell is wrong with you?
This is how you remind me. I can't fucking do it.
Like you're about to vomit. Is that what Nickelback does to you? You're on the verge of puking.
I think I'm gonna be sick. My body can't physically handle it. That's bad. That's gotta let you know. That's a real guilty pleasure then at this point.
I think I would definitely say Nickelback. I think there's more songs I like from Nickelback than I do.
Well, Creed is the only thing that Creed has. Can you take me higher?
There is that. Yeah, I think it's so funny though, the fact that it's funny. One of my favorite bands is Alter Bridge, and that's basically Creed but without the lead singer.
Yeah,
which is a major upgrade right there as it is already.
Well, because he's always sounding like this.
But I don't know. It's just funny to me that, like, one of my favorite bands is Alter Bridge, and that's essentially Creed, but...
Chevelle and Breaking Benjamin for me.
Yeah, those were the 2000 bands, man, for sure.
Yo.
But yeah, so we both agree that Nickelback would probably be the lesser of the two evils. I like how we just basically trashed the Christian rock band.
Oh, by the way. God. Let me go ahead and pray real quick.
Oh, man. All right, so that's the show. That was our first episode. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a lengthy one. But
that's what she said.
Good God. Or he said.
All right, Oscar.
But anyways, so yeah, that's the show, man. We're going to keep doing this on the weekly. Make sure you guys follow us on all our social media platforms, which is Twitter and Instagram. Twitter account is InsertNameFC, and the Instagram is InsertNameFCPodcast. If you guys want to drop us a would you rather, you can go ahead and do that on our social media platforms.
Yeah, and we will happily answer this on here. And...
I feel like we're going to set ourselves up for some really cringy ones, but that's what we're going to do for y'all, man. So there's that, man. I want to give a shout out to Alejandro Gomez, obviously, for hooking us up with this awesome logo that they gave us.
Yeah, thank you.
You can contact her through Instagram at Ale Gomez Graphics. That's, once again, Ale Gomez Graphics. You can see some more of her work. She just started her Instagram account, but still, she did a really good job, and I was really surprised. I was pleased with it. I basically told her go off, queen. Like I said, go do your thing. Go off, queen. She's like, what do you want me to do? I was like, just go off, queen.
Oh,
usually whenever someone like does any sort of design or art,
well, yeah, you don't stifle them.
Yeah, I don't want to stifle them, so I just said like, so
thank you again.
Yeah. And even though this episode doesn't feature it, though, I want to give a shout out to my boy Roosevelt Spencer, who will be providing us with an intro and outro, but not this one, but definitely hopefully the next episode you'll be able to hear those solid beats.
No, that's not
that. not that at all.
That no.
But it's going to be interesting, man. So next week, we're going to cover up some EPL games, hopefully. And all right. So that's the show, man. Have a good one.
Have a good one, guys.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.